praying that God will give us guidance as we make these plans. In this chapter, he mentions a number of important things that we need to plan to do this new year. But it's also important that we consider that all that we do, that we do it to please God. Paul said in Corinthians, "See that we make our goal to please Him." Also, in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, he said, "Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more." So what we do as Christians this next year, we need to make our first goal that we do what we do to please God. And so we ask ourselves, what should we be doing this next year? And I think that Paul, in this passage, sets out four things that we can consider as we set goals for this new year. First of all, we should plan to live a thankful life. Paul begins this passage by saying, "I thank my God every time I remember you." We should be thankful for our church. Paul is talking about the church in Philippi. He is thanking God for them. You know, I thank God every day. My wife and I do. When we think about 13 years ago, we became members of this church. And we're thankful that God planned in His plan for us to be a part of this church for the last 13 years. Been a blessing. We appreciate and love each one. And everyone has been a blessing to us. And we thank God for those blessings. And we need to thank God that He, in His plan, planned to institute a church that we might be a part of the family of God, the body of Christ, the church. And we can thank God for our church. And we need to praise God that He has given us a place that we can gather together as a people, a community of God, and study the Word, share the Word, and pray together. Even sometimes, even cry together. Share our burdens together. And we have someone that we can lean on, each other. And we thank God for that. And Paul thinks back of this church at Philippi, and he thanks God. But we ought to thank God most of all, of course, for Jesus Christ. He preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's thanking God for Jesus Christ and the gospel. We ought to thank God that through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you and I have salvation. And through the salvation that he has given us through Jesus Christ and the cross, we have eternal life. That means that we have a home in heaven in the future. And we ought to be thankful every day and thank God every day for this privilege of being Christians and serving God in the church. And this is one way we can thank God, is through the discipline of prayer. Paul talks here twice. He mentions this. "And this is my prayer," he says. He's thanking God through prayer. And this is one way that you and I, every time we pray, we need to make thanksgiving to God a part of our praying. In the closing chapter of this letter that Paul writes, he uses this idea of prayer. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, notice, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." Through thanksgiving, should be a part of every prayer we pray. Now, another way we can thank God is through worship. Now, we're gathered together today to worship. This is one way. In our worship, we can sing songs of thanksgiving. We can even pray prayers of thanksgiving in our worship time. Notice in the 100th Psalm, it says, "Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. And then in the fourth verse it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. Thanksgiving is a part of our worship. It's a part of our praise. As we come, we need to make thanksgiving a part of our everyday life as we live this new year. The second thing that he mentions here is that we should live a knowledgeable life. In verse 9 of this passage, he talks about knowledge. The knowledge of God. Now, there is more to knowledge than we consider. As we think about, we know about God, but it's not enough just to know about Him. But I found this, the more in the Bible that we learn, and the more that we know about Him, the more that we can come to know Him. That's our goal. That's the goal that Paul set out in a later chapter in this Philippians, that he says, I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. I might know Him. And sometimes we can know all about Him without really knowing Him. So our goal this next year is not just to know about Him, but to come to know Him. In fact, our goal is to know Him, but yet also to know everything we can about Him. And we find that as we know Him, we will want to know more and be more like Him. In the 10th verse of 3rd chapter, he says that I might know Him, and then he also goes on to say that I might be like Him. I might be like Him. That's our goal, as we said in the passage, as Christians, as we grow and when we mature, we're to grow and to become more like Him. But first of all, we need to know Him before we can be like Him. But also we find in this passage in verse 9, is to know Him is to love Him. Paul goes on to talk about that we need to abound in His love. We need to be more and more about His love. And so as we come to know Him and love Him, we can be like Him. I think there's a passage also found in Romans, the 8th chapter. It talks about those who have come to love Him. Now notice this passage. It says, we know that all things work together for good to those who love Him. Notice that important that we love Him. Who have been called according to His purpose. For those who God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son. You see, when we come to know Him, we can love Him, and as we come to love Him, we can become more like Him. And God is able to work in us, and work everything in us that we might be like Him. I think the key to all of this, as we consider this passage, is this verse that says that God is working in us. In verse 6, it says, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. God is working in us in order that we might be like His Son, Jesus Christ. And as we come to know Him and love Him, you know, there's the commandments that we should love God and that we should love Him with all of our heart, mind, and soul and strength. And as we come to love Him, He also tells us that we need to love one another. And as we love one another, it is an opportunity to abound in the love of God and to grow in the love of God in order that we might live a fruitful life. This is the third thing he's mentioned here, that we should live a fruitful life. He goes on down here talking about filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. The fruit of righteousness. Now, in order to live a fruitful life, we need to be growing and be moving toward maturity in our lives. We don't need just to be baby Christians all of our life, be children all of our life. We need to grow to maturity, just like a child grows up to become more mature. think I've said this before. I had a friend one time said that he didn't really believe that he had grown to maturity until he was 40 years old. He realized before that he made a lot of dumb decisions. But he said he finally, when he was 40 years old, he realized that he had grown up. Sometimes it takes a little longer for some to others. And we find that some people might never grow up. But yet that's our goal. That we might grow up in order that we might bear good fruit for God. And live a fruitful life. And bear good fruit. Paul talks about that he had not even grown up. This great Christian Paul said he was still moving toward that goal. In this letter to the Philippians, he says he's ever moving. He says, I'm striving forward to reach that goal. Haven't reached it yet. He says, I'm more mature now than ever was. But yet I'm not have come completely reached that goal of perfection of being like Christ yet. And that was his goal. To reach that goal, to be like Jesus in every way of his life. That should be our goal. We should grow. And then he goes on to say and give a little warning. He says, don't go backwards from what you've already attained. Move forward from that. To what you have attained, go forward, upward, ever upward. So you might consider yourself today a mature Christian. But yet your goal is to be like Jesus. And I don't see any of us being like Jesus yet. We haven't reached that goal yet. But so we're ever striving toward that goal that we might bear the fruit of righteousness in our life. There's a story about the great artist and sculptor Michelangelo. One day his neighbor saw him moving this huge stone up an incline into his workplace. It took him all morning to push that huge stone up that level way into his workshop. And his neighbor asked him, said, Michelangelo, why are you pushing that huge, ugly stone up into your workplace? And he looked at it and said, because inside this stone, there's an angel wanting to come out. You see, we should pray that in our heart that there's an angel of love that wants to come out. The love of God wants to come out in our life. That we not share this love with other people. And so there's an angel of love. It wants to come out in your life, in my life. And this should be our goal, that we might be fruitful. You know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. There's joy, peace, and patience. These are the spirits that ought to come out in our life as we live our lives, that we might bear the fruit of righteousness in front of other people and live it out in our love, not only for God, but for one another. Now, the fourth thing that we can learn from this passage, and the fourth goal, when I said, is that we should live a powerful life. You might say, well, the word power is not mentioned in this passage, but it is. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. There's the power. The power is in the hands of God. You say power is not depending upon our knowledge, but upon God's knowledge. In this passage we read earlier, it said, trust in the Lord, all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You see, we need not live our lives leaning on our own understanding, but on the knowledge of God and His wisdom, that we might not just try to do everything and think about everything and solve all our problems with our own instruction and knowledge, but come to pray that God will guide us through His wisdom and knowledge. We should not depend upon our own strength in order to solve problems and overcome the problems of life. We should allow God to work in us. In this same letter to the Philippians, Paul makes this statement, says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's a difficult. We can never attain salvation through our own help and our own work. But he goes on to explain this when he says, "For it is God who works in you and will act according to His good purpose." It's only through His salvation, only through His help, that we can be saved. And it's only through His help that we can work and grow as Christians in our salvation. It's through His help, His work. Also, we find in the Hebrew letter, it says, "May the God of peace equip you," or might I translate it, "empower you with everything good for doing His will. And may His work in us be pleasing to Him." You see, again, our goal is to please God. Not to please others, but to please God. And whatever we do, whatever God has will for us to do, and whatever work He has set for us to do, we should do it in order to please God. But notice also he concludes this by saying, through Jesus Christ. We can't do it ourselves. We can't do it through our own knowledge and understanding. It's only through depending upon Jesus Christ as He works in us to complete the task. Because you see, God is at work. And He's at work in all of us. And He's not going to give up until He has equipped us to do His will. Until He has refined us to be like His Son. He's still working in us. Paul had this confidence that he wasn't going to give up till the job was completed. Completed perfectly. Now, we can achieve these goals in our Christian life as we trust in the Lord. That's what the proverb said, trust in the Lord. Bill Brights tells an interesting story about a man who visited a city one winter. He traveled to this city, and it was a cold morning, and he arrived at his hotel, and he went into the restaurant. And he looked around and he noticed that everybody, the clerks and everybody that was there, they were all walking around barefooted. Everybody walking around barefooted. So he went up to one of the men in the coffee shop and he said to him, why aren't you wearing shoes? Don't you know that you don't have shoes on? He said, of course I know. I know about shoes. And I know I'm not wearing shoes. Then he says, why don't you wear them? And the visitor asked, oh, this is a good question, the man replied. Why don't I wear shoes? That was the answer. So he went outside and he noticed everybody walking around outside. It was cold, snow on the ground. Everybody walking around barefooted. So he went up to a passerby and he said, why are you wearing shoes? He said, well, and he looked around and the guy, and he said to him, don't you know about shoes? And the guy, oh yes, I know about shoes. He said, cracked across that big building across the streets, that's a shoe factory. He said, it's one of the best places in the city. He said, once a week we go over there and we hear the man there tell us all about these good shoes. We hear his little speech. And he said, well then why don't you wear shoes since you know about them? There's a shoe factory here. Why don't you wear shoes? You know they'll protect your feet. And then he looked and saw, oh, that's the question. Why don't I wear shoes? It's a good question, he said. That was it. Bill Bright tells a story. He says, when it comes to prayer, many Christians are like the people of that city. They know about prayer. They've even heard sermons on prayer. They've had Bible studies on prayer. They know that prayer is important. However, it has not yet become a vital part of their lives. However, we know as Christians that prayer is an essential part of our life if we're going to be a growing Christian. It is an essential part of our life. Prayer is a part of our life. Rosalind Rinker, who served as a missionary for some time in China, and who wrote a number of books on prayer, tells of three different prayer meetings in her life that she remembers. The first one that she remembered was important was when she was 15 years old. She remembered going to that prayer meeting and said she remembered it because there was a German lady that was trying to pray, and she got all mixed up in her prayer and said it all ended up in tears. She was all confused. But she said, I remember that prayer meeting because I had spoken to God in that prayer meeting and I realized that He was there. He said the second prayer meeting that she remembered was when after she had become a missionary to China. She said, once a week we met as a faculty of missionaries and we prayed. And said, we'd meet in a library room. And she said, I always sat near the bookcase. Because after I had said my prayer and other people were praying, I could look at the titles of books. Sometimes I even took a book off the shelf and look at it. And said, being ashamed, said, sometimes I even fall asleep while others were praying. I remember that, she said. Because she said, I remember that praying in that prayer meeting was like making a speech to God. Everyone I was prepared our own prayer ahead, and we made our little speech to God, and then we were through, and somebody else would make their speech to God. And then she said, the third prayer meeting was the most meaningful. Said it took place with a friend. Said we were praying in a conversational way. We were praying to God, and I realized in that prayer meeting that praying was not making a speech to God, but talking to God, dialogue with God. That prayer was not a monologue, but a dialogue. That's what makes prayer meaningful. Many times, maybe our prayers are just like we want to make a speech to God, and we say our little speech to God, and that's it. And we don't give God time to speak to us. You see, that's why the Bible talks about not only praying, but meditating. The psalmist said, in His law do I meditate day and night. And the prayer is that the meditation of my heart might be acceptable unto God. Meditation is thinking about what we're praying. Meditation is taking time to think about our prayer and letting God speak to us. You see, meditating is just thinking. Thinking about what we're saying. God speaks to us not only through our Word of God, but He also speaks to us through our thought patterns. And sometimes we say our little prayer and make our little speech and then we say amen and we don't give God time to speak to us as we meditate. Another important discipline is Bible study. But also, I think prayer and Bible study go together. You see, when we read God's Word, we need to meditate over it. We need to think about what we've read and allow God to speak to us through His Word. And as we pray, ask God to give us the wisdom that we need to understand what He is saying in His Word. And that's through prayer that we pray and ask God. Worship, Christian service also become a part of the disciplines of the Christian life. And so through prayer, Bible study, and worship, and Christian service, we can be serving God, working for God, preparing for this new year, making goals. But as we do these things, we need to make sure that we're pleasing God in what we do. But I think the most important thing out this, in order for this to happen, we need to think about what Paul says in Romans 12. He says, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy, notice again, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. You see, it's important that we commit ourselves and trust in God and give our lives to Him. So then that all that we do and that our goal is that we might please Him in that all we do. Everything we do. A thankful heart. A prayerful heart. A heart dedicated to God. Completely given over to Him, body and soul, in order that we might live our life this next year to please Him in all that we do. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can pray. We can talk to You. Lord, speak to us today. Speak to our thoughts. Speak to our hearts through Your Word and through all that You have for us. Thank You, Lord, that You brought us together today to consider the important things of our lives. And Lord, help us to make these things the most important parts of this next year. As we pray this, in Jesus' precious name, amen.
Thank you, Pastor, for reminding us always. Can I have everybody to stand up and we'll sing this last song together?
Remain standing as we sing the doxology together.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy.
In my grandmother's house, and I was going through drawers, and she passed away, to pick up some things. And as I was going through drawers, I found cards. I found calendars that were filled with people's names. I found prayer cards. And she was an avid prayer for people. And as we were driving away, there was a lady named Gilda. I don't know who Gilda is, but she called crying that my grandmother had led her to faith in Christ. And she said my grandmother prayed regularly all the time for me. Right? And she said because my grandmother passed away, she was going to pray for me daily. I was like shocked. I was like, I don't even know this woman. And she's going to pray for me. And as I was thinking about that, going through drawers and looking at all the pictures, all the notes, all the things that my grandmother kept of me, I was filled with thanks for my grandmother. And it made me think about all the things that I have to be thankful for, as Pastor Polnick was reminding us of. And as we reflect on 2017, sometimes we don't always do that. Think about how God's grace to us, all the things that we have to be thankful for. We're often so caught up in our lives and our things, and we don't think about just His rich grace to us. And I would encourage you guys, encourage us.